This is our third Great Grace Campout. And we've done a couple. The journey of the campout has been on a bit of a journey. So the first one we did was back in 2021, which was a different time. And really, it was just a great opportunity to be together and enjoy fellowship after a dark night. That was kind of then. And then we did it again and shifted a bit. And the theme, if you remember, if you were here, was kind of Spirit-filled church. And we were talking about the prophetic. And we've been at the Commission Festival for a couple of years. And now we're back. And this is slightly different in that there is, as you're picking up, there is a sense of commissioning. This is the kind of the focus for the weekend, really, is as we launch Bognor Mosaic Church, and that there's a commissioning emphasis. And but it is both ways, in a sense, as we, as Grace Church, launch Mosaic, but also as they kind of relaunch us to both Chichester and Havant. And it's been a bit of an in-between season, especially this kind of last term since around Easter, for Bognor especially, kind of been almost there, but not fully there. But after this weekend, that is it. And kind of on Sunday morning, we're going to have a significant moment, and we're going to, Tim Blaber coming in, we're going to pray into sending Bognor. And next Sunday, Bognor, they will be putting out Mosaic Church flags and signs, and not Grace Church ones. And that will be the kickoff, which, again, as you may be picking up, makes it a weekend of mixed emotions in some ways. And again, you just as kind of John introduces there, and Simo last night, my last kind of time welcoming Grace Church. Simon said the same in the office this week. Last Sunday, he was saying, "Welcome to Grace Church" for the last time, and getting a ripple of emotions, if not a wave, as he was doing that. And it is significant. We first launched the Bognor site 12 years ago as a church, and it's a significant thing. And the question that we have been asking the whole time, or certainly in recent years, is at what point does Grace Church Bognor become more held back by being part of Grace Church than it is released and served to do it? And I'm very, very confident that the next season for Mosaic Church will not be a season of kind of feeling, oh no, we're feeling more held back. But it will be a season of being released into new things and new fruit and newness in lots of different ways. And we talked about the picture of a child kind of growing up and leaving home, and I think that remains the best kind of illustration as Mosaic moves out. And there might be some teething problems as you kind of, you know, when you've moved out, if you've done that, or if you sent your kids, you kind of know it takes a little bit of time. But it's healthy, it's necessary, and making Mosaic Church a church in its own right is a healthy thing. And I'm confident that, like, Mosaic won't come back in a couple of years looking for cheap rent and kind of trying to just house it, because they'll be flourishing. It'll be free rent. There's also a big impact on the parents, aren't there, when kids leave and send their children into the big wide world. And I'm confident they'll be teething things for Grace Church as well, as Mosaic is kind of given and leaves the household, especially probably given the fact that the person who, like, holds the household together and does all of the cooking and all of the bills is also going to Bognor. It probably increases that there'll be some teething issues in Simon Taylor. But so it takes some getting used to. But again, also allows, just as parents, kind of a new sense, a new capacity, a release into new things. It's not a case of, like, now we can live for ourselves and do whatever we want, but now we can give ourselves to different things, to new things, and a new capacity. There'll be a big reshape in how we operate as Grace Church, being Being three sites affects more than you realize. It is far-reaching, and so it's exciting for both Chichester and Haven as well, and exciting things. We've proposed three new elders. We're raising up deacons. We've got new priorities, new faith, and the bishop family and others as well kind of moving to Haven. There's a new momentum and excitement. So this weekend will be fun together. Also, really looking for God to speak to us, as he has been doing, and to stir us all with faith and with passion for the next season ahead. As we send Mosaic Church out in mission over the road. And I want to kind of, talk this morning, as we send them over the road, I want to stir faith and mission and passion for going over the road, all of us in a sense, but also going over the seas with the gospel. We have a local vision and mission as a church, but with global implications and focus even. Now, mission is and always has been why we are multi-site, is to take the gospel and to go deep locally in our mission, but to the whole world. And so that's what I want to speak into, going over the road and over the seas with the gospel. I'm going to be in Luke 10 to start. If you have a Bible or a device, do turn there. It won't be on the screen. I'm going to read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 10. It says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or bag or sandals, and don't greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there. And tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you'll go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." It's the word of God. Our mission over the road, then, as we take the gospel over the road. And I'm talking partly, of course, about, again, sending the people of Grace Church Bognor out of Grace Church and over the A259 into Bognor, like lambs amongst wolves, and kind of talking about that picture. And it's really seriously exciting, by the way, that we're at this point. It is a huge privilege and joy to send these friends and brothers and sisters out, that we are in this position. And we're sending them with so much already achieved. Like, there's a flourishing kids' work that happens and has been flourishing for years, and a youth work, and a worship team, and a welcome team, and an amazing community with multiple grace groups, with a plurality of elders from day one. And that's not to mention really the main thing, which is the missional fruit and momentum that has been achieved, and the connections that have been made locally and in the community, the wider community of Bognor. Like, each one of those things that I list takes a lot to get to. They're not easy to have, and we're sending Bognor with those things set up and flourishing and healthy, and that is very exciting. And so as I talk about Over the Road, I'm talking about that. But I am also talking generally to all of us, Bognor, Chichester and Haven, about going deep in our locality. Kind of just go over the road, over our road, to our neighbours, the communities that we live in. So I'm talking about both. Our world, you know, is not good at local community. It's not. We're not strong in the world that we live in these days. And I just am increasingly conscious and aware of how isolated and private our lives are. I don't know if you kind of just feel this sense. In ways I don't think are healthy. In just the West, the way we live our lives, we live privately. You know, our homes are our fortresses. They're pretty closed off. We even travel privately. You know, cars are very, that's what enables road rage, is because you kind of just feel separated. You feel, because it's so private. We consume media. I don't want to kind of go off on a rant, but like, even just kind of streaming platforms changes. When people used to all watch the same thing at the same time, that it's all feeds a little bit the way now. Every you just watch whatever you want, whenever you want, and there's no kind of, we're not all tuning into the same thing at the same time. Obviously, phones are the ultimate way. They're so private, even within a family. Again, like, a kind of a home computer, but a phone, even within a family, you can be really, not necessarily in a negative way, but it is private. It's your own little world, and it all feeds an idea that we don't need others and others don't need us, which is just not true and not good for society. We've been camping in Cornwall last couple of weeks, where they're a little bit better at it, you'd say. They're a bit better at the kind of community sense and localness. We went, there was one evening where a local musician was coming and singing some songs to a beach, at a beach, and everyone kind of come around and sing some sea shanties together, which, right up my street, I was fully into it. Hooray, and up she rises, hooray, and up she rises. And he's loving it, and it's just great fun, the family, great sense of community. I'm sure there's a bunch of tourists, but great, amazing. It's quite funny, like, you got your kids there, and then you start, you know, some of the verses, if you know. Put them in the cabin with the captain's daughter, put them in the, you know. And that was a funny one. Put a live lobster down his trousers, but our kids love that. That is good. But it's amazing. Great fun, great community. Clearly, the guy forgot to preempt that verse, because he then said afterwards, just to say, that's kind of what that meant was cat of nine tails. That was what the captain's daughter was referring to. So it was a punishment. And he kind of, yeah, anyway, it's funny. Backtracking a bit. What I'm getting at is that there is a value in local community. And I think parish ministry has more to it than we maybe have given it credit for. The sense of local community. This weekend actually is so great for connection, because you can't hide, right? That's a healthy thing. That you can't be that private in this context. Jesus did the vast majority of his ministry within 3.5 square miles. It's a tiny little area. These three kind of triangle, the places that were mentioned in the passage, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, the vast majority, Jesus was just in that tiny little area. And each one of those just had a few hundred people in. It's a world where they would know the names of the people down the road. There's something important about names. And they would know the names of their aunties and uncles as well, right? They would know who got married when, who died when, and who was born. That's the world that Jesus is in. And that's obviously not our world, but there is something to fight for in it. And I just say to us, as we, on our mission over the road, get to know the names of people. Get to know their lives, their story. Yes, we have a message to tell them, but we can listen and learn from them as well. As we go in on mission over the road, just over to Terry over the road, or whoever it is. It takes time to go deep, but let's take that time. It's Jesus, how he did his ministry. I think we may need to slow down in order to go faster, if you see what I'm saying. We may need to slow in the way we reach people. I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that Jesus walked everywhere, obviously, in some senses. But that what that would have done for his life and in it, how he was doing his ministry. It's a slower pace, more. It's a kind of connected to what's going on around him. So I'm confident there is a new freedom for Bognor, for Mosaic Church, to go deep locally. In Bognor, but also, you know, in North Burstead, in Aldwick, in Feltham, in the real local communities. And again, the same for Chichester and Havant, and not just Chichester, but Kingsham and Parklands and Hunston and Warblington and Denville's and Lee Park in Havant, and something meaningful about the genuine locality. And we're sending Bognor over the A259 for good, really. And I mean, I tell you what, the number of times that journey has been done in the name of Grace Church is countless. People who have kind of been going back and forth, serving one another. And it won't be done again in the same way for Grace Church. Now, ultimately, we're not kind of too shy about the fact, ultimately, we want to do the same over the A27 eastbound to Havant. And we want to send Havant out, and I want to kind of build towards that. And the Bishop family are in the process of moving from Midhurst to Havant. It's a really significant thing for that community. Again, because I don't just want to cut down their commute on a Sunday, but they want to be in the community. They want to be able to do ministry over the road meaningfully. And I feel like it's significant. It's a kind of a convoluted story. You can ask them about what God's doing in this house move, but it's on and off. And it's significant. Bill and Barbara moved last week or so. There's other people have been moving centrally into Havant. God's doing something. I actually feel like it'd be good to pray for the bishops now. I don't know, like, Catherine's in. Becca and Ruth in here or not? I don't know if they are. Should be. They've escaped. Anyway, Thomas, why don't you stand up? Tony, why don't you pray? Come and pray for the bishops' house move as a sense of ministry over the road.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you're doing so much more than we ever understand or see. You go before us and you hem us in. Lord, thank you for the story of the Bishop family, the journey that you speak in so clearly. It's time to move. And yet in our minds, we could think, right, 3 months and it's done. But God, this has been an up and down journey, as Joe just said. There's been moments of, we're not sure, but you are. We know that you know all things. And so, Lord, we know as well we have an opposition that comes to throw obstacles in the way, but you are God, and you will have your way. And so, Lord, I pray that this would come to conclusion soon, the move. But God, more than that, that this would be so significant for Havant and surrounding areas. Lord God, that you would do a great thing. Lord, that the church in Havant would grow and strengthen and grow missionally. Lord, I pray for Catherine as she goes about what she does in Midhurst, it will be multiplied no end in Havant, Lord God, as she ministers to families and women around her, God, that they will see much fruit. Lord, we pray for many to come to know you. Lord, it's your kingdom. It's your work. You do the saving. You move us where you want us to move. And so, God, we thank you for obedience by Thomas and Catherine and family, and Bill and Barbara, their obedience to follow where you're going. So, Lord, do them good. Bless them. May they know the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that this next season would far outweigh all the things that they've ever put their hands to in terms of the kingdom of God. So, God, do great things. That we might even see revival come out of it. Lord, this would be a little another piece of the jigsaw put in place for their good and for the good of Grace Church, but for your glory, that many sons and daughters may come to you. So do them good, Lord, and bring this to a conclusion, and the move will happen very, very soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There's in the passage we read as well, and this is not a kind of a deliberate connection to the bishops, but there's loads of mentions of food and drink and in there, and it is that you read the verses, verse 7 to 9, and loads of mentions of the home. When you enter a house, first say peace to the this house. It says stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you. Then again, it says in verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. There's a real sense of kind of ministry around the table, doing local community. Sea shanties are optional. I don't think food and drink are. They kind of just seem to be an important fundamental part of the ministry. The homes are so important as enter in. And just don't underestimate the power of having a meal with your neighbours, with the people over the road. Yeah, even if you never get them to Alpha or 321, but you're just sharing your life and you're showing your heart to them. That's what we are called to as we go over the road with the gospel. Jesus sent them to heal. He says, heal them and tell them that the kingdom of God is near. So we're giving and then we're telling. We're taking the power of God and then we're telling them the gospel. So we're saying, even for Mosaic Church, buildings are nice, but not essential. Homes are. I think you need to use your homes and lean into that. But church buildings, they're not at all essential as you take the gospel. Be open to what God's saying. I don't kind of hear what I'm not saying. And it starts, by the way, by us having real community with one another. But by us modeling what we are offering to the world, we all need to know one another and have that community. And so that we invite the world not only into like services, whether it again Alpha or Sunday mornings, but we invite them into community. That's what we're inviting people into. We're not lording it over them, but we are listening. And we're giving to the world. I think there is a really beautiful vision to strive for there as we take the gospel over the road. I think it can be a joy. But it's not always going to be lovely and kind of nice. I mean, I can only imagine that sending lambs amongst wolves is a bloodbath, right? Not all lovely and easy. They're sent to the slaughterhouse in some ways. It kind of sent to lay down your life. It's not about it being lovely. Just a kind of word of warning on it. Also, I don't know if you noticed, I think it's remarkable. Jesus was, it seems, disappointed and frustrated that he was not in his ministry seeing more gospel fruit from what he is doing. You see, the three areas he is saying, woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and woe to you, Capernaum. That's where he was doing his ministry. And he's saying, why are not more of you repenting? Why are there not more people coming to faith with all that is happening here? And you just think, that's helpful. If Jesus is a bit frustrated by a lack of faith, I think we probably can expect that's where we're going to live our lives. By lack of fruit, sorry, lack of faith in others. That kind of, yeah, he's going for it. He's seeing real, you know, power and miracles. Everything submits to him. And yet he is still in that place. Then that is the way it goes. That's the ministry. He was left wanting more. I'm sure we are going to be as well. But while Jesus spent most of his ministry in this really small area, it is also a really fundamental truth to everything we believe as Christians that he came from heaven. He left the presence of the Father. He left heaven not just for Jerusalem, not just for the sake of the Jews, not even just for Israel. He came not just for his own community. He came to redeem all of creation. He didn't just come to make Bognor Regis new. He came to make all things new. Big vision. That is the vision, and that's the destiny. That is the end game, that all things will be made new. And it is a vision that he catches his people up into, such that if you follow him, you can't escape that you have a mandate to go on mission, to take the gospel, not just over the road, but over the seas, to the other nations. Both of those things are true, that Jesus emphasized local ministry, and he came to make all things new, to redeem all of creation. Later on, he sends his people out to Jerusalem. He says, take it out. But he also sends them out to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Famous verse, we've been preaching Acts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, yes, local, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Crucial word in there is and. It's not or. It's not you can do one. Which one are you going to do? I'm sending you out to all of them. Now, in one sense, we all choose one to emphasize to some degree. But I think primarily we are all responsible for all of them. We are all sent locally and globally. Certainly every church is. Every community of believers don't choose to emphasize the local and not care for the global. We're doing a local ministry, we're doing our own thing, and don't do that to the extent that you lose sight of the global. The vision of Scripture, the vision of God's story has always been global, and we've got to hold on to that. We've got to remember that. I'm going to read Psalm 96. You can turn there and read with me, which I just love this psalm for how it paints a picture of the vision. This is Old Testament, right? But this is the call. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It can't be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. It is all creation. All the nations. Even creation itself, the forests, not just going over the seas themselves will resound in praise of God. It is the message for Bognor Regis, it's the message for Chichester and for Havant, and also everyone else in the world. We must say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Jesus is Lord of all. We must tell the whole world. He is King. I want to encourage both Mosaic Church and Grace Church to remember this vision. This global vision. This mandate. This commission that Jesus gives us. So let's do more local. And let's do local more. But let's also do more global. Let's do global more often. The nations should be on our hearts. And this is hard. It is hard to get kind of out of ourselves and just even imagine the world. It's hard kind of, okay, we're going for what we're going for. We're sending, it's hard to get a sense of the global. Just some things that can help. Pray for the nations. Spend time in prayer for God to move, not just here, but across the world. Give money to the nations, to global mission, to serving the poor overseas. That works in your heart. Read and study and watch stuff, good stuff online about how God is, how our mandate to serve the nations and to take the gospel. I love that the kids, I love that they're noisy. That is a good thing. And I love that they are talking about, Lynn's just saying yesterday, going to send them out on mission at the end of this weekend. And they got a vision power pack, shaking nations. Amazing. Glorious. Working with kids. And I'm praying these kids are going to shake nations. They want a big vision from an early age. Another thing you can do is go there. Go over the seas to the nations. Maybe God is sending you to not just pray, not just to give, but to go amongst Grace Church and Mosaic Church. Maybe there are some to go long-term or short-term. I'd love to send and support some more people just taking the gospel over the seas, laying down their lives. Do you know, there are, depending on how you kind of draw the, there's 3,000 at least 3,000 to 7,000 unreached people groups in the world who don't know the gospel. Still primarily in that kind of 10-40 window, North Africa and Middle East, over to kind of Japan. And the Bible, when Jesus says to the ends of the earth, to all the nations, the Bible word of nation, make disciples of all nations, It's not really how we understand the word nations. It is more people group. It's not a political term about how kind of, you know, politically the lines are drawn on the maps. It is a communal one. Take the gospel to all people groups. I mean, and that's, Cornwall really want to be their own country. And I think in Jesus's vocabulary, they probably are. They are the people group. Take the gospel to all. It's that kind of sense. The gospel must be proclaimed over all the earth. And one other thing that we and you can do is to seek God for some or maybe even one nation or people group to have on your heart, to particularly carry before him. It's a huge joy and a privilege to be part of a commission family of churches for a host of reasons. One is that commission is a global family of churches, and led by Vinu Paul and who lives in India, Indian guy, is coming to Bognor in a few weeks. He's very a very humble man, very gracious and passionate man. So it's not about us Westerners going and showing the world how church is done. It is about global mission together. You know, the church in India has a lot more, really, they can teach us than we can teach them right now with all that God is doing. It's about commitment to mission and to one another and perseverance in the face of opposition. And commission, it really is a global family of churches. It's not just that there is a commission, you know, a church in the Philippines who was, you know, signed on a document to say they're part of commission. There is real, genuine community and family together. There's churches in Portugal, Spain, Italy, Ghana, Canada, Mongolia, Serbia. They're planting great commission into a major city in North Africa, which is very exciting. And at the leaders' conference in, June, was it? Yeah, June. There was, stinks, I realise that. I'm just ploughing through. It's good news, ultimately. There's a real emphasis on the global, that we are a global family together, and all that God is doing, and that there's international. And we heard from several brothers and sisters who are making an impact over the seas. And I thought it'd be helpful to just show a couple of videos from those stories. And so I'm going to show these. The first one is from Roland, who's in the Philippines, a commission church, and just what he's doing there. And the next one is a guy called Samir, who's telling us about a new church being planted into New Zealand. But Jenny's going to play. You probably won't be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear it.
Can you tell us what you've been up to out in the Philippines in your church?
Well, we have been doing a lot of missions because our church is a mission-oriented church. We commit ourselves to have a missions every year, at least one major mission and a short mission a year. So this is what we do. And in our 7 years of existence, we established 7 mission points. And we do all the jail ministry, the school ministry, children ministry, and a lot of establishing revive some nearly dying church. So that's what we are doing.
That's amazing. I've been really blessed to spend time in the Philippines with Roly, and I've been on mission with them, and the things they do is absolutely wonderful. Why don't you just tell us how God's been using you guys to impact the area?
I think what we are doing, I can say that we have an impact to the community, to all that we have done for the children ministry and schools. We go to elementary school in every places that we establish missions. And recently, our one mission point in Island of Marinduque has celebrated their 2nd year anniversary as a church, as a house church. And now they are doing these schools and visiting some NGOs, those children that had been exposed in some crime. And also in progressions, they are now trying to have a jail ministry, entering some high school to minister with and share the gospel.
I mean, so much has happened in this in these few days, a big door that God's opening. And I think for us from India, really planting into Auckland from India is like entering a big door. Yeah. It's like the first time. Many of you know Rahul and Jacqueline. He's been involved in New Day and a lot of stuff, and those who've come to India. So Rahul and Jacqueline, who are based in Mumbai, are moving to Auckland by the end of this year to plant a church in New Zealand from us. And that's a big thing for us. And I tell you why this is a big thing and why we need this roar is this is actually the first time that from India, from a third world nation, we're actually planting globally like this in a first world nation. And it's a big thing for us. It's really a big thing for us. And what Dave talked about in terms of from the nations of the nations is actually happening. And so, but for us, we do want to see this not something that's happening from India to New Zealand. It's a commissioned global family that we can together do the Hakka and say, let's go to New Zealand together. And I really want us to pray, to contribute, to get involved. I remember when we moved 15 years ago to Delhi, and there was a cry that there was a call that was made in Brighton. Families from the UK and different parts of India actually uprooted, quit their jobs, moved to Delhi to start the church and help us start the church. And that was a sacrifice, but that was a massive move. We started with 24 people from different parts who actually moved to Delhi, knowing nobody in Delhi, just so that we could start. And I think there's another season of many more like that to happen. And so I want to challenge and I want to encourage and say, any one of you, anyone from your churches feel like making this big move to Auckland, New Zealand, come and talk to us. Yeah. Come and say, hey, we want to be involved. We want to be involved as this global war cry church planting they want to do. And so, and if you want to know more, you want to talk about it, get in touch with us. We'll keep you updated on the developments, but do pray for us. It's a big thing for us. And also the other first that's happening is we're doing it in collaboration with Catalyst, another sphere. Now that's another first, another big thing for us. And we've had some amazing meetings because New Zealand already has 3 Catalyst churches. And all those amazing brothers, and Phil Wilthew, Matt Hatch from Catalyst, we've had meetings together, and they are saying, there'll be a commission church, but we're backing it fully. We want to partner together to see something happen in Auckland. So thank you so much. Do stand with us.
I hope that kind of just sheds a bit of light. We're part of something broader, and God's doing things in the Philippines. It's so exciting that India are planting into Auckland, and if you feel it, then talk to me. You want to go to Auckland and plant a church, get involved, then it's just very exciting. I hope it kind of just stirs faith in you with that. I want to stir faith and passion for both mission over the road and mission over the seas as we take the gospel. And I was thinking to kind of land and we'll come and sing that song we learned yesterday, which I do love. It's a great anthem. We're singing at New Day. Great privilege to sing with thousands of young people calling for God to do a mighty thing in our land. And I want to stir faith for us to believe that. But I feel actually just led not to kind of what God's been saying. I was going to say this anyway, but then I was going to kind of move on. But I think this is where to land. And the band can probably come up when you're ready. And I think we'll sing Blessed Assurance, that one we did earlier, instead of Make Way. The language of this kind of over the road and over the seas was inspired from that conference. So they used that there kind of in the other way, like don't forget to go over the road as well over the seas. And I think for us, probably the other emphasis, but that's where it was worked in my heart. I then stumbled just this week upon those words, pretty much over land and sea, in the words of Jesus in Matthew 23. I thought, oh, yeah, right, you know, it's kind of just, he's using the language. But the context is just interesting. It's just one verse in Matthew 23, verse 15, and he says this, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea," it's in the context of mission, "to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." Right. That's not the kind of application I was looking for there. Why is Jesus so annoyed? Why, woe to you when you go over land and sea to win a single convert. I was like, oh, hang on, isn't that what we're trying to do? No, the reason Jesus says it is because they are trying to make everyone else like them. And say, come and do the law. Follow the law like we do. And Jesus says, no, you're just putting something around your neck, their necks. You're not giving them the hope. The reason he's annoyed is because they're not rooted in, they're not giving the gospel. They're giving their own law to people. And we must remember that it is the gospel we are proclaiming, and we are proclaiming it because of what the gospel has done in us. We've got to hold on to the gospel. We have enjoyed his grace, his goodness, and we have to share what we have to our local community, to the people over the seas. Jesus says at the end of the passage I read, Luke 10:20, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. So I think I can feel this conviction. Don't rejoice that there might be the seeds of revival. Don't let that define you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that I have given you the right to become children of God and to approach God the Father and call him Dad. Rejoice that you are welcomed in to see the intricacies of the gospel. That is the thing we've got to rejoice in. Don't find identity, and this is for all of us and for us corporately and individually, don't find identity in how successful your mission is, whether local or global, but be rooted. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Yeah, don't be that excited that the demons have me. Be rooted in the gospel that God himself has left the comfort of the ultimate community in heaven and has come as a lamb amongst wolves, and he has gone to the slaughterhouse and died that we might know life and that our names might be written in heaven like a family tree. And you've got God the Father, and then you've got Jose Hallier underneath, who is a daughter of the living God. Rejoice, your name is written in the book of life in heaven. That is our gospel. I, in my Savior, am happy and blessed. That's the gospel. I've got all I need in the gospel. I want to go and take this message over land and overseas because I'm so caught up in what Jesus has done. That has got to be the thing that excites us more than anything else. That we say, I'm happy and blessed. Not because, you know, there's revival, whatever. I'm happy and blessed because I am in Jesus Christ. I am enclosed in him. That is my comfort in life and in death. That I belong to Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's just worship and rejoice in this gospel and let the joy of the gospel work in our hearts to send us out over land and sea.